Between now and next month's general election, Wisconsin Public Radio has invited candidates who are running in contested races for congressional seats to join us for interviews on Central Time and on the morning show. You can find all these interviews at WPR.org/politics. Right now, we're going to talk about the race to replace Republican James Sensenbrenner as representative for Wisconsin's 5th congressional district. That includes the north and west suburbs of Milwaukee and parts of Dodge, Waukesha, and Milwaukee counties. Tom Palsiewicz is a former treasurer at U.S. Bank Mortgage Corporation. He co-founded a business coaching company with his brother. He's running as a Democrat against State Senate Majority Leader and Republican Scott Fitzgerald, who declined our request for an interview. Tom Palsiewicz, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Why should voters in the 5th choose you to represent them in Washington?
Yeah, great question. A whole bunch of different reasons. You know, when I turned 18, Jim Sensenbrenner was my congressman, and I'm 58 and he's still my congressman. It's really time for a change in this district. We need somebody who actually wants to represent the people of the district, because this district cares about healthcare. They care about solving the pandemic. They care about income inequality. They care about the Black Lives Matter movement. And, you know, they care about gun violence prevention and they care about climate. So there's a lot of things that need to happen in Washington that haven't been happening. And I think it's time to have a Democrat represent us in this district.
Let's tackle some of the issues you just raised. Healthcare, a big issue again in this election, a challenge to the Affordable Care Act coming before the U.S. Supreme Court after Election Day. If it's overturned, it's in its entirety. That's maybe a big if. What would you do to try to start from scratch with a new healthcare plan?
Yeah, I'll say that's a big if, but I think there's going to be something happening with the Affordable Care Act. But what needs to happen is we need to move to a universal healthcare plan. You know, I've been a business owner for a while, and I've talked to a whole bunch of other business owners. We need to decouple healthcare from the labor market. It's really holding us back as a country from a competitive standpoint, and it's just not fair to companies and workers. There's so many people who would be starting companies, would move jobs more quickly, would go to get more retraining if healthcare was covered without having it having to be covered through a job. And then the other part is we need to make sure people with pre-existing conditions are covered. We need to make sure people have access to affordable care. And all those things aren't happening right now. I think we should move the Medicare age down to about 50. I think we should strengthen Medicaid. I think the goal, step number one, is get people covered. And then step number two, let's start bringing those costs down and get to a more proactive healthcare system versus a reactive healthcare system.
Related to the health issue, the pandemic, obviously one of the biggest stories, maybe the biggest story in the United States this year. What do you think needs to happen at the federal level that isn't happening right now?
Well, first off, we need a national mask mandate, you know, and it's really going to take a change of leadership. Our president has been consistently the same, that he doesn't think there should be a federal response to what's happening right now. He's left it up to the states. Our state has taken the same exact idea, and it should be, they think it should be left up to local officials. And we're in the middle of probably the worst outbreak in Wisconsin that we've ever had. So we need a national mask mandate. We need national contact tracing. We need testing. We need social distancing. But what we really need is we need to pass another stimulus bill that makes sure we can bridge the gap for businesses who feel like they have to open in the face of putting not only themselves and their employees, but their customers at risk. We need to get money into their hands so they can bridge this gap between where we are and when we have a vaccine. And that's something I think that needs to happen in Washington relatively soon.
That is a big debate in Congress and with the White House right now. What specific sorts of things would you like to see targeted in a potential stimulus package? Who would you want to prioritize?
Well, first off, we need to get money into everybody's hands. So I'm a big believer that we need another stimulus check of at least $1,200 into almost everyone's hands. State and local municipalities, they're under tremendous revenue drop pressure. They're trying to fill the gap with budgets now, but it's only going to get worse if they don't get some help. In the hospitality industry, I mean, there's a whole bunch of bars and restaurants and hotels and you name it that are all plugged into people being able to go out and enjoy life socially, that it's just not happening now. And unless we step in and really help not only maintain their ownership positions, but make sure they can make payroll, that's the key thing here, is otherwise we're going to have this second economic wave of people losing their jobs. They're also going to lose their health care. In the middle of a pandemic, it's going to get a lot worse unless we step in and do these things.
Talking to Tom Palsiewicz, running as a Democrat to replace Jim Sensenbrenner in Wisconsin's 5th congressional district. Now, the things you've mentioned so far, the stimulus costs a fair amount of money, some of the health care, same probably. Your opponent, Scott Fitzgerald, has cited the national debt as a concern in his campaign. Big deficit this year, $3 trillion for the year. Do you worry about the ability to pay for all the things you've just outlined?
Actually, at this point, it is the last thing we should be thinking about, because right now we need to make sure we can get the money into people's hands so they can keep not falling into poverty. That is step number one. Step number two is we'll figure out how to pay for it later. Here's the thing. Republicans have over and over again consistently cut taxes and created larger deficits. And there's never a discussion about whether we can pay for tax cuts. But whenever we need to spend money to make sure people don't fall into poverty, there's a discussion about the debt and deficit. And here we are, we're at $27 trillion when it comes to debt. We're going to have to figure out how to pay it off. But Republicans have consistently kicked that can down the road and basically said, all right, our children and our grandchildren are going to have to figure out how to pay that bill. I am a fiscal conservative. I think we do need to figure out ways to balance the budget in economically good times. And that is not the position we're in right now, because if we ran a fiscal surplus during good economic times, we'd have the money available to fill the gap during times like now. And we have to spend money right now to make sure that people don't fall into poverty.
How about the issue of police reform? Another big story in the United States, of course, social unrest after shootings in Minneapolis and here in Wisconsin. Do you think policing needs to change in some way? Do you support any kind of federal changes?
Well, I think it's more than just policing. We have a structural racism issue in our country, and we've had it for a long time. And it's now time to start doing something about it. One of the things I'm very grateful for is Milwaukee County declared racism to be a public health crisis. And that kicked off a whole bunch of different things that are happening in Milwaukee County right now. And they are leading in this effort. There are now a number of other municipalities around the country that are doing the same thing. But we need to change budgeting. We need to change the way that we do government budgeting through the lens of racial equity. We need to change our criminal justice system. We need to change policing. We need to change our healthcare system. There are a number of different systems that are tied into structural racism that, unless we start figuring out how to do something about it, these incidents will continue to happen. I'm just a firm believer that racism is very hard to change in people, but structural racism can be overcome, but it's going to take all of us to do it.
Congress, for at least a couple decades now, has been trying to come up with some sort of comprehensive plan when it comes to the issue of immigration, whether taking it in bits and pieces or one big overall plan. What would your priorities be on that issue?
Well, I think we just need to solve the issue. You know, it's become a wedge issue, and I don't understand why, because this country needs good immigration on a consistent basis to keep our economy growing. You know, right now, our birth and death rates in our country are about even. And we're going to start sliding into a country that's actually contracting from a population standpoint. And immigration actually boosts our economy because people come in and want to do the jobs that other people have decided they don't want to do anymore. So we need a comprehensive immigration policy. But it's something that the United States was built on immigration. We all know this. We all realize it. And we offer people the American dream. So the idea that people want to come here and live is not something that should shock anybody. That's a good thing. We need to figure out a way to make it work for everybody, though.
Do you see ways to reach across the aisle and work, if you're elected, work with Republicans in the House on issues?
I've been doing this my whole life. You know, it's funny, when I ran against Jim Sensenbrenner in 2018, you know, I told people I was running. They said, oh, great, you're going to primary Jim Sensenbrenner. I said, no, I'm running as a Democrat. And they couldn't believe I was a Democrat. And I said, look, you weren't paying attention. You weren't listening. I care about equality. I care about justice. I care about fairness. And I think that as somebody who represents the Democratic Party, these are the things that we care about. But these are things that everybody cares about. And when I talk to Republicans, I talk to Democrats, when I talk to people, what I find is we agree on almost 80% of any issue. It's just a question of how do we get moving. And in business, we get moving by doing something. And so my tagline in our campaign this time is progress over partisanship. Take steps. See if they work. Course correct if they don't. But keep moving toward a solution, because no one solution is the right solution. And I think that's where we need to get to. And we need to start agreeing on the issues and then start coming up with an idea of what are the things we're going to do to start solving them, not how to totally solve them, because that usually doesn't work.
We'll leave it there for now. Tom Palsiewicz, thanks a lot for joining us today.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
That's Tom Palsowitz running as a Democrat to replace Jim Sensenbrenner to represent Wisconsin's 5th Congressional District. His opponent is Republican and State Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald, who declined to join us for an interview today. Between now and the November general election, Wisconsin Public Radio has invited candidates running in contested races for congressional seats here in Wisconsin to join us for interviews on Central Time and on the morning show. You can find all of those interviews and learn more about the candidates and races over at WPR.org/politics. That's WPR.org/politics.